And once again, welcome to each and every one of you. A special warm welcome to our first-time guests. Ordinarily, at this moment in this worship, we would dismiss the children to the Sunday school, kids' house, little house. But today being the fifth Sunday, we set aside the fifth Sunday for Family Sunday. We are going to worship the Lord Jesus all together. And so children, if you'd like to receive one of those activity things, you may do so right outside the doors. And as you can see, also, we get to, on the last Sunday of the month, celebrate the Lord's Supper. So I'm really looking forward to breaking the bread and receiving the juice together with you. Behind me, you will see a QR code. You can point your camera and you can obtain one of the sermon notes. And you can also do that by doing the same thing in front of you, pointing your camera to one of these QR codes as well. There's a song, really famous Disney song. You've heard it, no doubt. And I bet you even sang it on your own. Maybe in the shower, driving the car. I know you have. Okay? And I'm going to read a portion of this song, and I want to see if you could guess the song. You ready? You ready? Let it go, can't hold it back anymore. Listen, let it go, turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say, let the storm rage on, the cold never bothered me anyway. What's the name of the movie?
Frozen.
Have you sung the song on your own? Of course you have. Okay, now, okay? I'm going to read some more from the same song. See if we can finish the last sentence. Got it? It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do. To test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I am
free.
I am free. The movie is about this princess who was destined to be the ruler of the kingdom following her father, the king. But she did not want that because she wants freedom. I am my own. I don't want to be the queen. They expect me to rule. The people need my leadership. But that's not what I chose. I am free. I want to decide what I want for me because I am free. Today we'll be talking about freedom. Freedom is one of the most fundamental values of our culture. In fact, in this series, Hot Topics, we'll be dealing with the following topics like identity. I want to define who I am. I don't want anyone telling me who I'm supposed to be. I want to decide for that. Next week, morality. What's right? What's wrong? How do you decide that? Who decides that? Who knows? Maybe it's up to us. Shouldn't that be up to us? And other topics. But today's topic, freedom, is the value that defines all the rest of the value. This is the topic that defines all the rest of the topics, freedom. And that's because our culture narrative tells you this. Freedom is the most important thing in your life, without which there is nothing. Without freedom, you can't decide for yourself as to who you are. Without freedom, you can't decide what's right and wrong because it's all up to you. You define what freedom is. Because you are, after all, free to decide. This is the cultural narrative. I am free, and therefore, I decide. I am free, free from restraints, free from rules, free from expectations. I'm going to decide what freedom is for me. Okay, now, I'm going to quote something profound. This is by Thomas Nagel. Thomas Nagel was a professor of philosophy and law at New York University. Really smart guy, someone that I respect immensely because as an atheist, he is so honest about his position as an atheist. Okay, got it? Okay, so this is what he wrote. I want atheism, that is the belief that there is no God, children, okay? I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. That is to say, he respects these people who believe in God, and yet he disagrees. So this is making him uneasy. Okay? It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally I hope that I'm right in my belief. That's the logical argument. However, this is the thing behind the thing to his atheism. Got it? Listen to his honest candor, conviction and disposition. Listen, he says, it isn't that I hope there is no God. It's that I hope there is no God. Excuse me. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. My guess is that this cosmic authority, what a phrase. My guess is that this cosmic authority problem is not a rare condition, and that it is responsible for much of the scientism and reductionism of our time. What he's saying is this. He says, I am an atheist. I don't believe there is God. Okay? And the reason I don't believe there is God, it's not just intellectual position. He's being really honest. Behind my atheism is, I don't want there to be a God. I don't want there to be a God. And here's why. The idea that there's this cosmic authority called God setting rules, defining restraints. You shall do this, but you won't do that. You shall do these, but you won't do them. This cosmic authority, God, I don't want my world to be like that. I don't want to bow down to some God who gives rules and restraints. And because I am, say it, I am free. And that's so important to me. Okay. Even though I disagree with Professor Nagel's position, I so appreciate his honesty, which is this. My atheism is more than my intellectualism. It's my desire. It's my wish. I don't want there to be a God. Never mind there's a God or not. I don't want such a thing. And that's because I'm free. If there is God, then I have to bow down before the God who gives rules and restraints. So, how do we speak the truth in love? And that's what this series is all about, hot topics. We are living in a time and in an age where not only do we disagree with people that we care about, even respect, but these differences of values are fundamentally creating separations and dissensions and even hatred. So because we love God, God says, love others. And therefore, we love others, and that's why we want to speak the truth in love. You will get to submit your questions to the number that you see behind me up on the screen. Send your questions, but my only ask of you is that you do so after the conclusion of the message. So, how do we speak the truth in love with respect to freedom? I want to take you to Matthew chapter 11. These are the words and the truths of Jesus Christ. And this is what he says. Hear the word of the Lord. come to me. All, not some, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And let's read verse 30 together. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how do I speak to you the truth in love with respect to freedom if we disagree? And how do you talk to your own friends and people that you care about with whom you disagree on this very important topic? How do you tell them the truth in love without hatred? One thing that really bothers me as a man, as a person who believes in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God, okay, is when I see all these debates going on between, say, people who believe in God and people who don't believe in God, there is such hatred. You know what I'm talking about? It's not just debate. It's not just having an argument, as in, hey, let's intellectually discuss what you're saying, what I'm saying. No, there's such hatred, hot, heated topics. And I pray that when you speak to your friends with whom you disagree, you do so in love. Speak the truth in love. Tell it lovingly. So I want to say three things. Number one, write this word. Everyone is a slave to something. You think you're free. I want to be free. But the truth is, everyone, you, everyone, me, is a slave to something. The notion that we can be free, that's a myth, and that's a misconception. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. He's talking about not just some of you are free and the rest of you are enslaved. He says all of you are enslaved to something. And that's why you are weary. The Greek word is you are labored. You are exhausted. And because whatever you are slave to is making you feel work, labor. And that's why you are feeling weary and heavy, laden, burdened by the weight of that slavery. Everyone is a slave to something. Let me quote another song by Bob Dylan. Any fans of Bob Dylan's in the house? Bob Dylan. He wrote one of the songs, and it's entitled, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Okay? So here's what he wrote. And it's so true. The poet, Bob Dylan, he says, you are going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you are going to have to serve somebody. You might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. You might have drugs at your command, woman in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. And whatever you serve is your master. You are serving somebody or something, and whatever that may be, that is your master. And that's why you are slave to that. Let me just give you a few cultural examples. Tom Brady, my boy, my man from Michigan, University of Michigan. Okay? He is known as the GOAT. You know what the GOAT stands for, G-O-A-T? It stands for the greatest of all time. You know how many Super Bowl rings he has on his fingers? Guess how many? How many Super Bowl rings in his fingers? Seven. He is considered not only the best quarterback in football, he is considered not only the best football player of all times, he is considered the best athlete in all sports. Dude, who's your goat? Who's your goat? Continue. That's right. Michael Jordan, how many rings does he have? Six. Not seven. Tom Brady, the goat, has seven. I'm going to listen to my brother. Let's continue. Tom Brady, the goat. Now, he retired. He walked away from football, the love of his life. The following year, guess what I hear in the news? Tom and Gazelle divorced. I said, no, what's going on? I love these people. What's going on? Now, let's be fair. This, what I'm about to share with you is something that I gather from out there. I didn't call Tom Brady and say, hey, Tom, what happened? Can you give me the scoop? That didn't happen. So I'm just going with what I read. Got it? What I read is this. Gazelle, his wife, sacrificed much for Tom for his football career. And Tom said, and after the seventh ring, I'm done. I'm going to retire. I'm going to focus on you and the children. And then guess what he did? He came back. He came back. And Gazelle said, sad, but here's my question. Why would Tom Brady, the GOAT, give up on his marriage and his family and come back to football? And that's because football is his master. He's got to serve somebody, and more than marriage, more than family, perhaps, now again, let's be fair, Victor. You haven't talked to Tom about this. I'm just going with what I heard, okay? And based on what I heard, it seems to me that Tom is serving this thing called football, and he's been enslaved by whatever he's achieving for, striving for, football. Let me bring it down to earth. Something more relatable. I used to know a mother, three children, immigrant family, came from Korea. Typical immigrant family situation. The husband went off to work to make a living and live out the North American dream. And she was all alone by herself at home with the children. She didn't have that connectedness with her husband, and she was feeling lonely, and she put all of her love and endeavors and passion and energy into her three sons. You follow? Okay. Now again, Korean culture, the helicopter mom stuff, times 10. Okay. And whenever her sons would do well, whether it be in school, sports, in life, she's walking in class. She was so happy, so beaming, so evident. But the moment her sons weren't doing well, guess what happened to her? She crashed down. Life is hard. I don't want to live anymore. I have no joy in my life. And that's because, guess what? She's serving somebody, and in this case, she's serving the sons, or what happens to them. And it was really about her, and thereby, she was enslaved by what happens to her sons. Every one of you is a slave to something. So here's my question. What is enslaving you? Or a better question is, which are you serving? Whom are you serving? And what are you serving? And whatever that may be, it is owning you. Close your eyes, just for a sec. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't think too much. I'm looking for your reaction. Whatever comes to your mind, just say it in your heart. Not out loud. What is one thing that you desire the most right now? Did you say it in your heart? You are slave to that. You are slave to that. Whatever you desire the most right now has you. You are not free. Everyone is a slave to something. John 8, here's what Jesus says. John 8, okay? In verse 31, Christ says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you
free.
Thank you. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? We are not slaves. We're free people. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When you trace all your masters under which you are enslaved, if you trace all that, at the very end, you will find sin. Sin is the cause of you being a slave. Jesus says, you, Victor, and all of you are a slave to sin. Sin. St. Augustine, one of the greatest Christian theologians ever from North Africa. He had been an atheist for the longest time, and when he was 16 years old, he and his buddies, they were walking alongside, and they walked into a pear orchard and stole pears. And many years later, after he became a Christian and a theologian, he thought about that incident. Why did I do that? Why did I break the law and stole those pears? Given two things. Number one, I don't like pears. Number two, I wasn't even hungry. So what made me want to walk into that orchard and steal those pears? And you know what he said? He said, just because somebody said I shouldn't. The sign said, thou shalt not steal. And that's why I wanted to walk in there, steal those pears. What he's getting at is this. No one tells me what to do. I am my own. I am free to decide what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, and how I'm going to do it. Don't let anyone tell me what to do, because I am free. He recognized that. And that's what my problem is, and that's what your problem is, and that's what everyone's problem. We don't want there to be a God telling us what to do. We want to be our own, and that is what happened at the Garden of Eden, the doctrine of the original sin. The serpent said, hey, be free. Did God tell you not to eat that? You better believe it. He did. You be free. Don't let anyone, including God, tell you what you can do or you cannot do, because you are free. Be a free person. And whenever we sin, we are mastered by sin. It's the first point. Everyone is a slave. And you found out to what, to whom you are slave. Number two, Jesus Christ commands you to submit to his mastership. Write that word, the word that you may not like. Jesus Christ, God himself, he's not asking you, would you like to submit to my lordship? He's not. He's sovereign. He's the king of the universe. He's the cosmic authority. He is commanding you, submit to my mastership. Acknowledge that I am your Lord. Kneel before me, bow before me, and serve me alone, only, for I am the Lord. So he's commanding you. In verse 29, Jesus says, imperative command, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What's a yoke? I don't mean an egg yolk. I'm talking about Y-O-K-E, yoke. Here's a picture of it, because not many of us are farmers, and nor are we familiar with this device called yoke. Here's a picture of a yoke. Let's take a look at it. It is made of wood. It's a wooden beam, and it's got two holes. There. Okay. That's a yoke. Into the hole, you harness that device around the neck of an ox or cow. You enslave the cow. You subjugate your beast, and you make it labor and work and toil. Next picture, please. So here are two oxen under a yoke. That's what a yoke is. Question to you. When you look at that yoke around your neck, what do you feel? Do you feel free? Do you feel liberated? Do you feel, oh, I can do whatever I want? No. So here is the dilemma. So subversive. Jesus Christ says, you're a slave to something, and therefore, take my yoke around your neck. And that's what he means by, make me your Lord. Make me your master. Acknowledge that I am the authority, the cosmic authority for your life. In Isaiah chapter 10, listen to this. This is God speaking to the people of Israel. The Israelites were under a captivity. They were sold off to the foreign countries as slaves. And this is the promise of God. And I want you to notice how God uses the word yoke. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken. Because yoke symbolizes slavery. Yoke symbolizes bondage. Yoke symbolizes subjugation. And Jesus comes along and says, you want freedom? You want freedom? Yes, we do. Then here's what you do. Put my yoke around your neck. Make me your Lord and God. So here's the next question. How does that give us freedom? If we are slave to sin, and then Christ says, therefore, be my slave, not sin, slave of the sin or anything else, but be my slave. Third point, therefore, and here's why. Jesus Christ is the only master who can set you free. Write those words. He's the only master who can set you free. We have to be his slaves in order to be set free. Because he is the only master, the cosmic authority, who can give us that freedom. Let me read again, Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When you put Jesus' yoke around your neck, when you say to him, I am your slave, and you are my master, the way he sets you free is this. He says, my burden is light. And my yoke is easy. It's not hard. And you say, what do you mean it's not hard? What do you mean it's easy? What do you mean it's light? What? The commands, the rules, the restraints of the universe given by the authority, God himself, thou shalt not, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a command, a restraint. And you can't do it. Or the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's stuff. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's donkey. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. All the restrictions in the law, you and I have not fulfilled them, have we? And Jesus says, my yoke is light, my burden is easy, and that's because I have obeyed every command, every rule, every restraint given to you. I have done it all. You come under my yoke. How many oxen did you see? Two. Imagine this. I got the yoke around my neck. It's as if Jesus Christ put himself in the same yoke. And he's carrying all the burdens. He's pushing the cart all by himself. I'm just coming along. I can't obey God's commands. I'm not good enough nor strong enough. Christ is the only person who has fulfilled the requirements of the law. And he's done it. And he's carrying the load. And I'm just coming along by his side. And therefore, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. One of the most quotes that I find so true is one that belongs to Tim Keller. Here's what he says about freedom. Therefore, a true freedom is not about the absence of restraints, but the presence of liberating restraints. True freedom is not about the lack of absence of restraints and rules, but rather, true freedom is about choosing the restraints and the rules that give you liberation and set you free. Did you hear that? So, case in point. Let me give you two. Okay, one. The most beautiful and most dangerous creatures in the sea is the killer whales. Nothing can touch these creatures. But what if these gigantic, strong, fast orcas, they said, I want to be free. I can rule the sea, but I don't want to be confined to their restraint because I am free. And I'm going to jump out of the water. I'm going to live in the land. What's going to happen to it? It's not going to stay alive. It's going to die. And that's because the land was not built for the orcas. It is the most powerful, most dangerous, the freest creatures in the sea when it remains under the restraints of the sea. Similarly, Victor Koh, I say, I am free. No one tells me what to do. So I'm going to live the way I see fit. When Jesus Christ, God himself, made me thrive under the restraints of that boundary, I am most free when I live under his mastership, for his mastership, when I serve him. That's like the orcas living in the oceans. But when I choose for myself and leave him and sin against him, rebel against him, that's like I am choosing death itself. So therefore, true freedom is not about the absence of restraints, but the presence of liberating restraints. You have to choose. And that's what gives you freedom. In conclusion, therefore, you got to serve somebody or something. You are a slave to something. And the worst of your master is sin itself. But when you come to Jesus and you put yourself under his yoke, he's the only master who can set you free. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? I want to pray for you. And as I prompt you and lead you in this time of prayer, may the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. What did you hear? Did the Holy Spirit open your eyes and identify for you what your master is? If it's not Jesus, then it's something else. And if that's the case, are you experiencing true freedom? Would you be honest? I also want to pray for you that those of you who have not knelt before the kingship of Jesus, today is your day of salvation. Acknowledge that you are enslaved. Acknowledge and ask that you want the true freedom. And ask, pray to Jesus that he will set you free. For you call him your Lord, your God, and your master. I want to give you a chance right now, a time and a space, to pray your confessions and your dedications to the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we believe it. You are worthy. You are worthy of our surrender and of our submission. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And we live in your freedom now. In the name of Christ, we pray.